Okay, welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Greg Duma, and I am one of the high school seniors attending here at the church. We have a variety of announcements today about church life and activities. Please take some time to read the order of service and read the announcements that are listed in. In addition, we've got a pair of announcements. There will be Friday golf. Look for an email from Al or go bother him yourself. And please stop in the social hall after the service to sign up for help with the Roman Civic. We really use everyone's hands, you know. Many hands make light work, whatever that phrase is. I'd like to take this time to greet those sitting around you. If you are a visitor visiting today, we particularly welcome you. If any visitors have brought themselves, it'd be a great time to introduce yourself. If anyone has brought a guest, you know, now would be a great time. Okay. If you are a guest, please sign the guest ledger in the visitors table in the foyer. There's a. Oh, we have one. Just kidding. My bad. Jump the gun.
Hillary's here.
Okay, now we're going to move on. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor's table if you are a guest. There's a variety of information available on the table about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Help yourself to anything that interests you. I'll be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church. Or if you're visiting for a while and you'd like information about becoming a mender, I'd be happy to talk about that as well. This is an intergenerational service, and so that means all children will be remaining in the service, and we will not be going to RE. The nursery, however, is still, as always, just out the doors to the right if there's any need for child care during the service. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a great place to gather for further discussion on the service. Now would be a great time to put any cell phones on silence mode. I hope you find this morning's service inspiring, and obviously today our service will be led by high school seniors in their transition service. Thank you.
This morning's opening words are from Alice in Wonderland. Alice asked the Cheshire Cat, who was sitting in a tree, "What road do I take?" The Cheshire Cat asked, "Where do you want to go?" "I don't know," Alice answered. "Then," said the cat, "it really doesn't matter, does it?"
as a beacon of hope for the future. Please join in reading our congregational response. May love shine forth through us today. May love and reason guide our way. May beauty, truth, and joy become a flame that burns in everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
We've got our old chalice on the table. The kids, the seniors requested that. Some of them, this was their first chalice that they started with here at LCUC. So we've got that one on the table.
And it's working.
Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers here today. I know there are at least seven moms here who gave birth to children about 18 years ago. And who are very actively helping them transition from high school seniors to young adults. So a special happy Mother's Day to you seven. Jenny, Ginger, Janice, Carrie, Lori, Tracy, and Karen. You've done an outstanding job as mothers, and we here at church thank you for sharing your children with us. Jasmine, Emma, Will, Greg, Aaron, Morgan, and Allie. They're a great group. They're fun and they're funny. I've enjoyed working with them this year. We're overjoyed that they have all decided to take part in the transition program, which is an optional, so they really didn't have to do this. It's a year-long independent program, a culmination of their UU experience here as youth at LCUUC. It's really magical to have watched their maturation as they became a vibrant part of our community, being big buddies to our younger ones, sharing their music, going to youth cons, participating in service projects. Some of them went to the Heifer Ranch in Arkansas. Some helped with the Colorado Trail maintenance. And they're becoming more comfortable tackling the big questions in life. The transition program asked them to do many things. They each chose a mentor from our congregation to meet with during the year. They spent time learning more about Unitarian Universalism. They met with our minister, Reverend Jane. They took part in a spiritual discipline. I know, Will, you did the mindfulness class and went down to the Mindfulness Center with your mentor. They did service here at church. They did a lot of work on the commemorative garden. I saw a bunch of them out there leaving last week helping with the arbor that's getting erected. I'm also told they'll be planting a few apple trees in our garden in their memory. So we'll look forward to watching them grow and blossom. So thank you for that. And they took part in social action. They worked at Repairs of the Breach this year. They did yard work for Make a Difference Day. Some of them are going to Appalachia this summer on the service project trip. And I think some helped at the Christmas toy drive, I think, and Habitat for Humanity. So they were pretty active that way. They also spent time writing a faith statement, which they're going to share today, probably the most challenging part of the transition program. Being a UU isn't easy, as we all know. We haven't handed these seniors a one-liner creed to memorize. Our seven principles are certainly a good starting point, but it takes some doing to make them a little more personal. If I were to write a faith statement today, I would have to say that it would include believing that life has a bit of a miraculous quality to it, and let me explain. About a month ago, I decided to go through an old file cabinet and found this big manila envelope and opened it to find it full of letters that were sent to my husband, Phil, when he was in the Peace Corps in Thailand. He was about 23 years old, a little older than our seniors. I didn't know Phil at the time, and I didn't know the people writing the letters. And we started reading the letters, and though they were interesting, they didn't say much about who Phil was at the time. And at one point, I just stopped him and I said how much I wished that there was a letter that he had written that would give me an insight into who he was at 23 years old. And really, almost like a miracle, the next letter he pulled out of that envelope was this honking four-pager that he wrote and never mailed to Kathy, whoever she was. Basically, this letter was his faith statement. How his beliefs were no longer what his Catholic upbringing taught him to be true, but how science and nature and human beings informed his beliefs. and it pretty much holds water even to this day. It was clear that Phil was a UU back then at a time he'd never heard about Unitarian Universalism. What a gift to have this letter, his faith statement today. The last line in the letter alluded to how difficult it is to share things so personal with others. As he wrote, and I quote, "The nice thing about writing a letter is that the person reading it can't give you any grief, at least till they write back." So I hope our seniors will look back someday at the faith statements that they have written for today's service and be thankful to have had written them as a baseline for your developing spirituality. Maybe you'll even pull them out of an envelope in 35 years. And I think it's important to share them here today with such an understanding community. They know we won't give them any grief, as we are all very much keeping our principles alive and continually searching for truth and meaning and respecting everyone's journey. Anyway, I know it wasn't easy for you to write them, and it's a bit of an act of courage to share them with us today, so I commend you for your efforts and your courage. Listen carefully to what they have to say. I know they'll be inspiring. Thank you to the seniors for sharing yourselves with us today, including some of the things that have been meaningful to you, which you've brought and we've got displayed on the chancel table. We have 18 cupcakes here, and that's to help celebrate Emma Gorell's 18th birthday. It's actually today. And unfortunately, Emma isn't able to be with us today, but I know she's here in spirit. She plans to share her faith statement with us at some time at a later date. We'll now sing hymn number 131, "Love Will Guide Us."
Ages, and I'm about finding everyone up since it is for all ages. David Milgram. Just look at you now. You've come very far. You're as sharp as a tack. You're as bright as a star. You've made us all proud by who you've become, and we'd like to review how you did what you've done. You watched the world closely. You studied the sounds. You had a small taste of whatever you found. You wandered and wondered. You loved to explore. For every answer you got, you had three questions more. Why is a pair of underwear called a pair if there's only one? Why is a fly called a fly, but an ant is not called a crawl? When cheese gets its picture taken, what does it say? You loved a good mystery. You prodded and poked. You knew how to listen when anyone spoke. You made a few friends. You learned how to share. You were never afraid to show that you care. You gave things a try. You were brave and courageous. You liked to do things that were wild and outrageous. You loved to be challenged. You wanted to fly. The more that you failed, the harder you tried. You put things together to see what they made. When life gave you lemons, you made lemonade. You learned it's okay to cry if you're sad and how to express yourself when you're mad. You had many teachers. You learned from them well. You had your own stories that you needed to tell. You played your own music. You sang with your heart. And look at you now. You're so brilliantly smart. You got where you're going. You did it your way. Three cheers for you. Hip, hip, hooray.
It is now time for today's offering. May your monetary gifts to our church be given in the spirit of our youth and the church and the work that is done with us for us to hear us here at church.
Fearful when the sky was full of thunder. case you don't know. Okay. Being a UU has endless definitions, and I hope you get some insight on mine. I grew up in this community, and they have helped shape me into who I am today. I have countless memories that will stay with me my whole life. My first true memory is at our first church, and all the RA kids in my class were rolled up into a blanket and then rolled out again, and we were reborn. I also remember building what seemed like gigantic cardboard houses. We all got to decorate them and showcase our personalities, and then we sent our friend letters. I don't remember why we did these things, but they sure were fun. Then my memories jumped to middle school, where we ate a lot of treats while learning about holidays. We also learned about every major religion and visited different services. This is the year that I started thinking about where I fit into all of this. High school, the last step before I'm tossed into the world. These past 4 years have made me think and challenge my beliefs. It's hard to give a concrete, this is what I believe, but here it goes. This is how I think everything came to be. The big boom happened, and then we have water and land and such. And then one life form appears, and then it evolves into everything else. Well, because I believe every living thing came from the same one organism, I think that we are all connected. As my mom informed me, this view coincides with pantheism. I think that the higher power, or God that everyone talks so much about, is just energy that connects us all. I think the tree in your backyard is just as much a part of your family as your pet cat. When I was growing up, we had an amazing willow tree. I loved to swing on the terrace swing and swing joints and sing to myself. Sometimes I would just lay under it and let my mind go blank. One night a huge storm came while we were camping, and my beloved tree was torn from its place. Both my mom and I cried when we saw it laying there. Yes, the tree was still physically there, but there was something missing for me that was unexplainable at the time. The best I can do now is to tell you that its connection to all other things was gone, and that I could no longer feel its energy. This experience and others have made me think that when you die, you're just dead, and that's it. I don't believe in ghosts or your spirit floating about visiting your loved ones. This view is monism. Mind and body are one. Something else I believe is that energy connects us. The energy that connects us all can be shared. Here's another story to explain what I mean. My favorite aunt, the one I was named after, had cancer. I remember my mom and I sitting down and sending her good thoughts and feelings. The very next day we called her, and one of the first things she told us was how great she was feeling that day and how much energy she had. I believe that our energy was sent to her through our thoughts. This also explains to me why people pray to God for someone and it helps. These are a few things that I can say I believe right now. Who knows in 5 years? Ask me then. Until then, I will be attending Oshkosh in the nursing program. I want to thank everyone in this community for helping raising me and filling my heart with hope and joy, especially my mom, dad, RA teachers, and Kim, my mentor.
Myself and the faith I developed while at LCUUC. In the past, I always felt that most people gave pretty simple faith statements. You know, they claimed a classic, I don't believe in a Christian God, or, you know, they made casual remarks about the silly idea of a bearded man in the clouds. You know, they made a cliche, like, I feel spiritual when I'm with nature, or when I'm with friends and family. And I kind of laughed to myself on the inside and said, this is shallow, this is, you know, that's not truly who they are. You know, now when I'm looking at it, you know, having to do it for myself, I realize exactly how real those things come to be when you have to explain to yourself in just 3 to 4 minutes. And I almost have to repeat those same lines, because a lot of those things resonated so closely with me, and maybe that's why I remember them. But regardless of all that, I'm not here to tell you about the past faith statements that others have given. Honestly, when I was pretty frustrated when I started writing my faith statements, and I felt that I really had nothing to write about. You know, I said, I have no faith. You know, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in connections between human beings and life, or human beings, or human beings and anything, really. I think, you know, it's pretty much concrete, the laws of physics and chemistry, Everyone follows them. All things follow them. There's nothing special about our life besides the fact that biologically we're, you know, we inherently want to reproduce and we're going to keep reproducing our DNA and on and on and on. It's not spiritual, but it's something. It's pretty special. But all these things are pretty much separated from faith for me. You know, spirituality, I never really got along well. Logical fallacies such as God, it didn't sit for me. So the idea of going to church was always something I did more for my parents. You know, I always decided that I could go to LCUC as long as we replaced the last C with community instead of church. But still, I've developed a love for the community around me. I do truly respect and admire all my peers. LCUC has managed to foster an environment of open-mindedness, intellect, and debate that I find truly astonishing. Each child is nurtured and taught by his material, his peers, and his teachers. Each child is, you know, taught all these things until he can finally come forth after all these many years and give a grand speech in front of the entire community about his faith or her faith. But as impressive as that child's transformation may be, it can easily be rivaled by how impressive the community is that surrounds him, supports him, and teaches him. Now, there was a time when I viewed religion mostly as a crutch for the weak, a protective blanket, if you will, from the evils and hardships of the world. I felt that religion was derived from the base fears that most humans feel. You know, people feared the unknown of death, and so they created a god to give them an afterlife. People feared the unknown of light, so they created a god to sit in the cloud and strike people down. Now, in the modern day, we all know the idea of Zeus would be kind of ridiculous. You know, but science and logic have driven the idea like that from our minds. Yet still people fear, and so still they hold firmly the belief of God. And I rationed as a child that people who follow religion are weak and scared. Now, since that time, you know, especially during this transformation I've had taken in the past couple weeks, I've come to realize that many people, you know, view it quite differently. Not only can religion be based around a message of fear, it can also be a beacon of hope. Religion need not be divisive. It can be a powerful focusing point to bring the mass of humanity together. And it is such a place in LCUC. The people here are accepting and strong, each wielding their spirituality not as a crutch, but as a tool to motivate, to bond, to drive each and every one of us to be all that we can be. More than any other, it is the incredible diversity and combined strength of this community that proved to me what a wonderful thing religion can be. Each graduating senior is asked to pick a mentor when they begin this final transition. Yet the most difficult part of doing so was the fact that I was limited to only one. I cannot thank all of you for the support and the positive influence you've had on my life. Next year, I'll be heading off to UW-Madison, and I will be majoring in engineering. I would like to thank my mentor, Phil, for all the wondrous influence he's had on my quest to better understand myself. After several times meeting up, I found that not only was it incredibly similar in his beliefs to my own, but that in many ways, he's a perfect role model and exactly what I'd hope to become in the future. Thank you so much, Phil.
Jasmine Badgerding. I am part humanist, part existentialist, part atheist, a huge part scientist and evolutionist, and I suppose a small part very liberal Christian as well. These parts of me often intertwine, and as I continue to go through life, new parts will probably be added. I had never gone to a church before this church, which I started attending with my parents from time to time when I began high school. Up until sometime in middle school, I believed in God just because everyone else around me did, or at least it seemed that way. However, I started questioning my beliefs early on. As a child, I did not understand how God could let tsunamis kill thousands of people. I did not understand how God could sit up in the sky and watch while children were being killed in civil wars over diamond mines. Sometimes I prayed to God, but it never felt real to me. Eventually, I found people around me who were also disillusioned with this concept of God. As I went through school, I learned about many different religions, ideas, and philosophies. This brings me to the first part of me, humanist. I believe that only people can stop suffering in the world. The dilemma I have with humanism, though, is that it tends to be slightly more optimistic about humans than I am. I believe humans are born selfish, which is why we often have problems stopping evil in the world. However, what separates humans from the rest of the animal kingdom is that we have the ability to reason right and wrong, and to change and become less selfish. Humans have accomplished many great things, but we cannot slow down in helping stop suffering in the world. The next part of me is existentialism, meaning that I do not believe that there is any set purpose of life or meaning of existence. Although I can create my own meaning for life, it is not the same meaning for everyone else in the world. And if I think about it too much, life just really does not make any sense sometimes. I first discovered existentialism when I read The Stranger by Albert Camus for a class in school, and although the book was slightly creepy, the concept has stuck with me since. Next comes atheism. I do not believe in God or any sort of higher power. This also ties in with the scientist in me. I believe some forces of physics started the world was then made up of chemistry, and somehow biology started life. I believe that humans evolved from monkeys, which evolved from other species, and so on. And since humans have come out on top thanks to our intelligence and opposable thumbs, I believe that we have a duty to protect other animals that are lower on the food chain than us. It is easy to forget that we are not the only creatures who are trying to survive on this earth. And along with animals, it is important to protect the resources that we all use. The final part of me at this moment is a tiny part of Christianity, mostly concerning Jesus. I used to be very cynical about Christianity, but I have recently learned that I agree with some aspects of it. I just feel that it has been used in the wrong ways throughout history. I do not believe in Jesus as the Son of God, but rather a very kind and caring humanist. Whether or not all these stories about him are true or exaggerated, I think he is a very inspiring person because of his willingness and selflessness to put others in front of him. He would do anything to help the poor, even when it meant becoming poor himself. I think that all humans can learn a lesson from his selflessness. This fall, I will be attending the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I am planning on majoring in both political science and environmental studies. To conclude, I would like to thank my mentor, Amy C. We volunteered together and even attended a philosophical discussion. I would also like to thank my parents for letting me be free in making my own religious choices and never forcing me to go to a church or a mosque that I did not want to attend. Finally, I would like to thank this church and Unitarian Universalism for containing bits and pieces of humanism, existentialism, science, evolution, Christianity, and much more. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scrubbing toilets and washing dishes. But mine did. Well, sort of anyways. Having cleaned it for 4 years, I know this church like the back of my hand. I know where everything is, where everything goes, and which power outlet you can vacuum the most rooms from. And just in case you were wondering, it's the one in the foyer to the right of the kitchen door, and you can get 9 rooms from it. It's pretty fantastic. I measure my vacuuming in miles. I measure how many times I've wiped the counters in the gallons of solution that I've used. And I've scrubbed the church toilets more than I have the toilet in my house. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but it's true. I've locked myself out more than once. I've listened to weeks worth of music while working. And I know that you forgot your travel coffee mug before you do. Despite the fact that I know this church better, dark and empty, than I know it bright and full, I still don't feel like I know that much about my faith. Perhaps that's because I come from an incredibly questioning background, having been both unschooled and Unitarian Universalist for all my life. I consider myself the curious of the curious, which probably means I will never feel like I really know what I have faith in, because I will know there is always another option out there. But what I know so far, I will tell you. Even though I know this building inside and out, it's not the building I come to see every Sunday morning. I don't sacrifice sleep to get a preview of the work I'll have to do later. I come on Sunday mornings to be a part of this community because I believe in people, in humanity, the good in every person, the struggle for a meaningful existence. I believe in love. I believe in music. I believe socks are an awesome invention, but I still think going barefoot is better. I believe the sun will rise tomorrow, no matter how bad today seems. I believe that most people don't pay attention to the details and that the details are the most important part. I believe the arts are vital to our survival. I believe education is incredibly important. I believe I will always be a questioner. I believe the more I learn, the less I will know. I believe that most people don't really listen. I do not believe in talent. I believe in hard work. I believe that actions speak 7,000 times louder than words. I believe in nature. I believe in conquering obstacles. I believe in telling stories. I believe sunshine really does make you happier. I believe in being honest. I believe that no matter how many times I try to say what I believe, I still won't cover it all. I believe girls' pants pockets are too small to be of use for anything. I believe that I have a purpose in life, even if I haven't found it yet. I believe it isn't always bad to be childish. I believe in getting dirt under my fingernails. I believe no matter how many times someone tells me something, I have to experience it myself to really know its truth. I believe for there to be good, there must also be bad, for the world revolves around perspective, only most of us don't have much. I believe life is like a roll of toilet paper. The farther you get along, the faster it goes. I would believe you if you told me I've said I believe over 40 times already. I believe in sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. I also believe in clouds, rotten fruit, and tsunamis. Hey, what can you do? Nothing? False. I believe there is always something you can do because there is always more to be done, which is why I believe the hardworking should be the ones rewarded. I believe that if everyone opened their minds and allowed themselves to think outside their comfort zones, the world would be a much happier place. I believe that whoever said everything in moderation was a genius. I believe that there are some things that cannot be put into words. I believe in the ability of one person to make a difference. I believe if you argue for your limitations, they will be yours. I believe we must strive for perfection, for it is not perfection, but the struggle to attain it that makes us who we are. This I believe. I will be continuing the struggle for perfection at Lawrence University next fall as a music major in trumpet performance. And I would just like to thank my mentor Greg, who couldn't be here today, and my family and this church for giving me a place to attempt to figure out what I believe.
Church has really been a constant in my life. My family started attending when I was very young, and so in the important early stages of my life, LCUUC provided me with an accepting community, an open learning environment, and a strong positive influence. The camping retreats, volunteer events, and choir rehearsals were valuable and memorable childhood experiences. Over time, I also began to value my church as a source of insight, moral guidance, and intellectual inspiration. I came to appreciate all the fascinating people who are drawn here and the diverse perspectives that they bring to the community. Shout out to my classmates and teachers. Thanks for all the engaging conversations in RE. We talk about a lot of things in class. Instead of memorizing scripture, we have philosophical discussions. Ironically, the one thing that Unitarian Universalism doesn't teach you is what to think. We're supposed to figure that out for ourselves. Fortunately, my experiences here have helped me figure out how to think, which is infinitely more important than the specifics. This is what I've come up with so far. I believe in the importance of a good support network, in the golden rule, and in maintaining one's natural curiosity. I believe in the fact that actions speak louder than words, and I believe in the irreplaceable virtue of keeping an open mind. A higher power? Yes. Still a little vague on the details. But I'm not worried, because my church has given me a solid foundation to work off of. I have principles, and my future religious or spiritual pursuits will follow in a natural and unforced progression. Another thing I believe in is Rhode Island School of Design, which is where I've decided to pursue my higher education. And I believe that the focused arts program there will help me find something that I'm truly passionate about. As of right now, I plan to go for film and animation, but obviously, that could change. I'd like to thank my parents for encouraging me to go through with the transitions program, and my mentor, Dave Cicero, who could not be here today, for inviting me to spend quality time with him and his family, for sharing his art experience, and for being available to talk. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Will Tyler. So I'm the last one to go here. So you guys have already heard a lot of these, but hopefully mine is good too. Alright. Do I believe in God? Well, I feel like a typical Unitarian answer could be, I don't know. But I'm here to say, yeah, I do. My reasoning is that everything can't come from nothing, so something must have created everything. But I'm not up here to talk about how I believe it's possible that God was the spark of the Big Bang, or whatever. I'm here to talk about more interesting ideas, in my opinion. In knowing that I believe in a God, or more what I think of as a pure and powerful energy, you might ask, are you some kind of weird Christian? Well, I suppose so. But I feel like religions are just a bunch of categories that overlap with each other. So instead of just pointing to one religion, I'd rather talk about a couple of them. Let's continue with Christianity. I've seen the ugliness of the religion. In 7th grade, I was convinced by a friend to come play dodgeball at his church, where we played one 15-minute game and then discussed the apocalypse for over an hour. By using fear, the teacher was trying to get us to see Jesus as our Savior. That, paired with the attitude towards gays, has made me feel hatred towards the religion. But is that fair? After all, most Muslims aren't extremists hoping to one day be strapped with explosives. Fortunately, I've seen some beautiful things from the religion. In the last couple of years, I've been to Christian churches where I've been surrounded by wonderful messages of forgiveness and love. So am I a Unitarian? Yeah, I would say so. It would be hard for me to disagree with the virtuous ideas in our 7 principles and to feel alienated in our fun and loving community. Each year as a Unitarian, I've been lucky to learn a ton. I've had discussions about human morals, the Bible, the purpose of life, of course, and dozens of other topics. So I think Unitarian Universalism does fit me. But the best fit for me is the last religion I'm going to talk about, Buddhism. I didn't know anything about Buddhism until my sophomore year when I read The Art of Happiness. The author wrote a book about his interviews with the Dalai Lama, and that was when I got hooked on Buddhism. I could go on for pages about how the Dalai Lama is the most beautiful person I've ever known, just by reading his book and seeing him when he came to Madison, or how it was so nice to have a clear way to find a path to live a happy life. But those things overlap into Christianity and Unitarian Universalism. So what is it about Buddhism? One part of the book explains how one can eventually be motivated to become enlightened or happier just to help other people. In my opinion, that is such a pure and godlike motivation to have. And I realize that all religions have people who are this pure, but I feel like this is an ideal that many, many Buddhists have. So to best explain all this, Buddhism is the best fit for me because of its unity from everyone focusing on a similar path and because of the truly pure motivation that many Buddhists have. I've gradually been becoming more committed by reading new Buddhist books, meditating before I go to bed, and recently by taking Paul Norton's mindfulness class, which I definitely recommend. I'm hoping to start a Buddhist book group or something in college to keep myself committed. But after that, it'll be interesting to see what kind of community I join. As I pointed out, there's a big overlap between most religions, sharing the messages of compassion, forgiveness, etc. So what plays a huge factor next is having a good community. Considering myself a Buddhist, I wouldn't think it would be weird to join a different community that shares the love and forgiveness messages. So in other words, I wouldn't be surprised if I joined a Christian or Unitarian church as an adult. That has been a huge reason for why I still come to our church often. We have an amazing community of wise, interesting, and loving people. I've gotten to know some of you here for over 10 years, and some of you just recently. So for all of you, with my whole heart, I'd like to thank you, and I hope we can talk more. Thanks.
Like to share a song that was written specifically for high school seniors here at church.
Yes, I have some.
These are the mentors for the most part, and a few others of us. Many haven't done much before.
They're so brave. And their mentors to come forward when their names are called. And again, unfortunately, Emma can't be with us, and Greg Valdi and Dave Cicero. But I know they're here in spirit. So. And thank you, seniors, for sharing your faith statements and your music. Everything was really, really great. We've got Jasmine Badgerdean and Amy C. Greg Duma and Phil Smith. And Gina Magnus, who's mentored Emma Gorell. Mike Burrell is going to join Gina. Spirit of Emma. Allison Haskell and Kim Sewer. And Morgan Moraine, who was mentored by Greg Valdi, who couldn't be here. Aaron Sullivan and Dave Cicero. Dave, again, couldn't be here. And Will Tyler and Joanne Nelson. Thank you to all the mentors who have mentored the seniors here. I know you've learned a lot from them, maybe as much from them as they've learned from you. We really appreciate that. I know you had a good time together. So we have a few gifts for our seniors. Of course, you're going to get the chalice. Does anyone want to pull one out and just show everybody? And please let that chalice remind you of all those who care about you here at church. It's got the LCUC emblem on it. And in your bag, you have the book, 100 Questions That Non-Members Ask About Unitarian Universalism. You thought you were safe to have an elevator speech ready when asked, what do you use believe? But apparently there's 99 other questions you need to be able to answer. Congratulations, seniors. Good luck next year. And be sure to stay connected with us. You can text us, email us, Facebook us, tweet us, or just plain old walk in the door and say hi. We know how to do that. So thank you.
And I just want to say, and I'm sure the seniors here would join me in thanking Lynn Smith. She has led this senior transitions program. She designed it and has been doing it for many, many years, has done it for all my kids, and she does a fabulous job. And she wrote that song, Take a Look, that we sing every year with Karen. So thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, everyone. We look forward to the seniors' visits with us next year.
Come from the Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dream. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you, for life goes not backwards, nor tarries with yesterday.
Thank you. you all for coming.